Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
Poor communication is one of the two major reasons couples give when they're seeking to work with me. The other one they talk about is that they've grown apart, which I actually believe is a consequence of the inability to communicate well. So learning to communicate productively is a skill that can be learned. Unfortunately, there isn't some class in all the time we go to school that teaches us how to do this, so most of us just kind of muddle through as best we can. And this leaves our relationships vulnerable when the inevitable differences of opinion or outright conflict happen. So the ways that we deal with this are as varied as the people involved. Sometimes we respond with a wall of words in the hopes that we can prove our point and that we're right. Sometimes it's a wall of emotion, anger, crying, whatever, that serves to back your partner off. Or sometimes it's a wall of silence that shuts your partner down. Some of these are just some of the problematic ways that we deal with communication in our relationships. So to talk about one of these ways and what you can do instead, I'm joined by Brittany Mills, who is the co-founder of Marriage and Family Strong. So Brittany, thanks so much for being on the show to talk about this really important topic.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I follow a lot of people who write about marriage because that's what I do. I want to stay involved and I want to get people on the show. And in an article that you wrote, How I Learned to Stop Giving the Silent Treatment to My Husband, you came out and owned up pretty much to your unproductive style. So can you share a little bit about what you learned, how you discovered this was not working for you?
Well, you know, none of us wants to admit to our faults. We want to think that we're perfect, but usually that is not the best way to have a good relationship. And so when we first got married, I was like the master of the silent treatment. It was bad. So when my parents, that's just how they fight. They do the silent treatment for weeks and weeks, and then us kids, we get caught in the middle. And so the important thing that I learned.
Oh, would this be like the tell your mother that or tell your father that? Oh, great.
Yes. Or, well, go ask your mom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they don't get the same side or whatever. But so when we first got married, I've grown up doing that. I just figured that was how people communicated when they were mad. They just shut down, stopped talking, and just went from there. And my husband comes from the opposite family. Like, they talk about everything, and if anything is bugging them, they will just blurt it right out in front of you. And I was just like, oh, what in the world is going on? And so when he would come and ask me, like, what's wrong with you? Why are you mad? And I just wouldn't talk. Like, I just was so mad, and I just hold it in, and it would, like, make me shake sometimes because I was trying to hold it in so much. And so he would just be like, he would keep bugging me and say, well, what's wrong? Just tell me. And I'd be like, just give me like a half an hour. Like, just let me just, you know, mull it over and go from there. And he was like, well, I can't wait that long to know what's wrong with you. And so it took me about a year to figure out, okay, I might as well just talk to him about it. And he's still going to love me if I say something that he's doing that's bugging me. That was the hardest part.
I need to go back to that because you've said a couple of things that I don't want to let pass that I think happen a lot. And one of them is that dynamic that you were describing that isn't just necessarily what you describe as giving the silent treatment, but maybe somebody isn't quite ready to talk about something, but their partner is like, I can't wait. And it's like, whoa, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's a difference in style that I know we're going to talk about a little bit more. But then the other thing was, and it's so huge, what you said about knowing that you could talk to him and it would be okay. How did you figure that out?
I think one day I finally just blew up at him and I was just like, you are bugging me for this and this and this and you did this. I can't even remember the exact situation, but I remember him just smiling at me and I was like,
oh, wait a minute. Now that could be really annoying, but okay.
Yeah. Well, but you got to understand he was smiling at me and then he was like, okay, thanks for telling me. And like, I was like, wait, I just told him that he was mean or that he was being a dork about this or stuff like that. And he didn't get mad about it. And he was kind of like, okay, that's fine. I just wanted to know that. And I was like, it was like everything opened in my eye, in my head. Like, wait a second. Like I can voice
easy,
my opinion.
Right? Yeah.
I can voice my opinion and he is not going to say, well, I don't love you anymore or I don't. You know, I don't want to be married anymore. I think that was my underlying thing because I feel like that was an element in my parents' marriage all the time that if you disagreed, then you were going to get a divorce. And so the fact that he was just kind of like, okay, that sounds like just like took it in stride and was understanding. I was like, okay, well, then that makes it easier for me to want to talk to him. Even when I am angry or even when I am mad about something.
Right. And I think that's an important thing because, and I struggle with this concept, and people who've listened to my show for a while know that I do. I don't like the idea where it's accepted that all couples fight and argue, and that if you're not fighting and arguing, then there's something wrong with you, which... if you're doing what your parents did, which was the silent treatment and not dealing with the issue, yeah, that's not healthy. But it's sort of like what you discovered with your husband, that even though you had a different opinion or you were bothered by something that he did, you didn't have to fight about it. You could just share it. And so I want people to understand that communicate, that there's positive ways to communicate and get your point across so they don't have to be afraid of differences of opinion or something that maybe we really just have, that there is conflict about. Because I don't like that word conflict because I don't think there's any way that we can look at conflict and not see it as a negative.
Yeah.
So I guess part of the question is, and I struggle with this with the people that I work with, is what happens if I disagree with you, I might, or if you disagree with me, I might leave you. I mean, it wasn't the case in your marriage, thank goodness. And I think it's not the case in a lot of people's marriages, but I think there's that enough of that fear that, can I test it? Can I actually reveal who I am? Can I actually say, hey, you know that thing you're doing drives me crazy. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part about a marriage is, there's so many different stages and you have to kind of find the stage where you're comfortable and you can share that kind of stuff. And, some people, it probably will take them forever to learn how to do that because maybe they're scared of their spouse or their spouse might not have the desired reaction to sharing that. But I think, maybe doing it a little at a time just a little bit at a time to help them slowly ease into their partner and how they're going to be reacting to it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing because there's the part of me that stands to the back and go, okay, this is something you should know before you get married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, and I think that's something to be aware of because you talked about this, and I think it's very true. We learn about relationships throughout our lives, and the first place we learn about romantic relationships is from our parents. and you were learning something a little bit unproductive. I'd argue that in my particular case, I also learned some unproductive things from my parents. And I think we do, but it's sort of like as kids, we don't question it. It's like when you were growing up, it's like, isn't this the way married couples deal with stuff? So then I think if you get into a relationship and you see that dynamic, it's like, oh, okay, I know what to do with this. This is what I'm supposed to, you know, this makes sense. Or in your case, you ended up with somebody whose dynamic was completely different and you're going, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah. And that's the hardest part is just, you know, granted, when you're dating, you're trying to be the best that you can and trying to show them who you are at your best. And so not all the ways do you have that opportunity to show them like how you are when you get mad or how you are when different conflicts come up. And so I think some of it, yeah, you should know before you get married, but then there's some other elements that you just can't predict or you just can't see until you actually are in the thick of it, living it day by day and just trying to figure it out together. And so I think just, you just kind of have to roll with it sometimes and just say, okay, this is how he reacts in this situation, or this is how I have been reacting, and it's creating friction or it's creating something in my marriage that I don't want. And so you have to find either a middle ground or you have to change yourself and just say, okay, you know. And it was hard for me to swallow and be like, oh, it's my fault, you know, because I don't want to see myself as a bad person per se, but or the bad one in the relationship. But you know, we all have things we can work on, which is
right.
Good.
I mean, because I want to go back to what I was talking about a little bit before about your husband's way of dealing with things, and you know, there are some drawbacks to that too. That trying to get you to talk before you're ready, and this may not be you specifically, but I have seen people where, you know, and it's actually some of the stuff that I teach of getting clear about what I'm bothered by so that I can express it in a way that you can hear. And I may not be able to do that immediately, but if you want an immediate answer, then you're going to get it kind of unfiltered and unthought out, which has its own challenges. So I think it's what you talked about of trying to find that middle ground of maybe giving you enough time to formulate your thoughts and not sitting on it for days or weeks like your parents did, but maybe not in the immediate moment going, okay, here's what I'm bothered by. And then you just kind of do the, you just no holds barred, no thought, just everything, just the flood just comes out.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, if your spouse says, hey, give me a half an hour, go find something else to do, and then come back, and then you can talk about it. And it hopefully, in that half hour, both of you have kind of calmed down, and it isn't as intense or as you know, emotional as it was before.
And, you know, and I think that you hit on something also really important that people need to realize is that just because I have this way of communicating and you have this other way of communicating, it's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's what we've learned. And, you know, so can we not beat ourselves? I mean, we beat ourselves up all the time. I mean, you know, we're always our own worst critic. And, you know, and I think that that may actually be one of the reasons why it's hard to take that step back and go, okay, what's my part in all of this? Because we don't want to see ourselves as bad or wrong, and we're not bad or wrong. It's just not working in this particular circumstance. And anybody, and I know we talked about this before, that you have, you know, four very small children, three of whom are pre-verbal.
Yes.
But, you know, we learned this with our, if you have more than one child, what works with one child does not necessarily work with the other. And so you kind of have to figure out which is going to work. And nobody's bad. It's not,
It's just different personalities and different characteristics that just you have to figure it out. And we even noticed with our triplets already that, you know, the different characteristics. One will not eat if his milk is too cold.
Right.
Or, you know, they have to have certain things certain ways. And so you just have to, you have to make sure that you're working together to figure out the best course of action.
Right. And I think that's the willingness to learn and to recognize that some of this, and especially relationships, don't always come naturally. They're natural up to a point. But then it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't work.
Yes.
So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with blogger Brittany Mills about how the way you choose to deal with conflict can damage your marriage or make it better, either way. And if you really want some help in improving the communication in your marriage, then I encourage you to take a moment and send me an email or give me a phone call and take advantage of my free, no obligation session where we can dive into what the communication patterns are in your relationship and come up with a solution to get you on the right track. So you can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S. Coaching, and N is in Nancy, C is in Charlie.com, or you can call me at area code 919-924-0463. Now back to this conversation about communication, which is so critically important to a good relationship. So Brittany, what made you decide that you're, because you actually talk about the silent treatment as a form of punishment. And so what made you realize that and how it was impacting your relationship?
So I think the breaking point was we were coming home from a family event and I was mad about something. I can't remember. And I did not talk the entire ride home from this event because I was mad at my husband for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually will just try and get me to talk. Well, this time I think he was testing me and he waited the whole time. And so we were like maybe 2 minutes from our house and he just started laughing, like outright laughing at me. And I was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
why are you laughing at me?
That could be a dangerous thing to do, but okay.
And he goes, I can't believe that you are that mad that you would not talk to me this whole ride home. And I was just like, wow, okay, it's true. Like, it was kind of an eye-opener. Like, I was that mad that I was letting it bug me for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was like, let's just talk about it. Let's talk about what's wrong. Let's figure it out and fix it and go from there. And so I think that helped, as well as, you know, the previous times of him saying, it's okay. Like, you can have your opinion and we'll go from there. But I think.
So this was after you'd already discovered you could talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, well, it was kind of the whole first year of marriage was like a process.
Yes.
So it was just kind of slowly opening my eyes to the fact that I didn't have to hold anything against him and not talk to him so that he would know that he was doing the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized like we needed to talk about it in order to avoid that. I didn't want to feel like I was the authority figure and that I was all knowing and always in the right. And I realized, okay, well, this is not the best way to talk about it. And this is not the best way to handle these situations. It's, we have to figure it out together and kind of go from there.
Uh-huh.
So I figured out I shouldn't punish him. I shouldn't make it so, well, he just needs to be grateful that I'm talking to him, because what husband or wife wants that from their spouse? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, and you, in your piece, you actually say, I mean, and it's in big, bold letters, I needed to grow up.
Yes.
Which, you know, quite frankly, I think is a statement that pretty much is a universal statement. I think that's something that we would all benefit from if we, not you growing up, but ourselves growing up.
Right.
And recognizing that, you know, something just isn't productive. And, you know, the idea, and you said this before, and it kind of goes into, well, he should just know what I'm angry about. Okay. Mind reading 101. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think that's another way that people try to avoid voicing their own opinion. It's like, well, I shouldn't have to tell you why I'm upset. You should know. And that's really kind of a way of, well, now I don't have to actually plant my flag. And I think it's all, again, fear-based behavior. And it's how do we help people, ourselves, others, to recognize that that being afraid is actually part of the problem.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we just have to kind of suck it up and go for it. Like, and it's hard when you're, you know, when you're younger. I got married when I was 25, mm-hmm. which to some is old, to some is young, depending on where you live.
Right.
But it's amazing. It doesn't matter what age you are. Sometimes you just have to grow up in some areas. And I think that was definitely one of them that I had to learn. Okay. I'm not a little kid. I can't throw a tantrum. Basically, that's what the silent treatment is almost throwing a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to realize, okay, you are a big girl. You are married now. Like, you need to get it together, grow up, and learn how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, and you actually make a point about that. You talk in the article about that, you actually say something about that, you know, communication is a dying art. And I'm like, oh no.
Well, it is. If you think about all the social media and all of the people text each other in the same room. And so sometimes you just have to, it might be a struggle to go through, but you need to learn how to communicate.
And so with you, was it trial and error? Did you talk to anybody? It sounds like your husband has a good sense of humor, and is able to use humor. And the same thing is true in my family. If somebody can laugh about it, then that breaks the tension. Again, sometimes we have to be really careful because it's laughing with somebody, not laughing at them. And somebody could go, well, I'm not laughing. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But the difference is I'm not making fun of you.
Right.
Which can be, that's why when you said your husband laughed, I went, okay. Because we have to be open enough to accept that, yes, what I'm doing is just being silly, you know, or being unproductive or harmful. And, so what have you found, or, you know, how did you learn to get past this?
I think it was a little bit of trial and error. Like I said, it wasn't an overnight, like, you know, mm-hmm. miraculous change, which I don't think anything is for anyone, but it was more of just, you know, taking each situation as it came. And sometimes it was the same situation would send me right back uh-huh. to where I was before. You know, because half the time your arguments tend to be about the same things.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't like I was miraculously really good now at when this one situation came up or a different situation came up. It was just, okay, let me take a second. Okay, this is how I should react. This is, you know, is this life or death? Is this the worst thing in the world? Is this something that I really need to hold against anyone? No. So uh-huh. then I'd have to move on from there.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because, and I can't remember, I just read this within the last 2 days, and I cannot remember where I read it. But it was about, is if something were to happen to one of you, like if one of you were to have a heart attack or get hit by a bus or some horrible thing, is this how you would want your relationship to be at the end? And so is it worth staying mad about something? And you made such a good point about choosing, making a decision to choose how you wanted to respond or be angry, you know, that it didn't change what happened. It didn't change the event. It was just, how did you want to deal with it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's so many things that are conscious. It's a conscious decision. And I think once you start making those, you know, one at a time, it starts to become those changes that you make, and it starts to become, okay, like this is how I'm going to start reacting to this from now on. And so it's kind of like a learned habit, I guess, is a way to say it.
Well, and I think you made a good point about that this wasn't something that suddenly you had this epiphany, which is a good thing that you did, but then, and then suddenly everything was different, that it's something that you do consistently. And even now, you know, those same things can still get under your skin. So it's not like somehow you found this answer to never have your feathers ruffled. It's just,
yeah,
that when they do get ruffled, you're choosing to do something else.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I wrote a post a while back about how marriage isn't a Hallmark film. Because, you know, we always see these miraculous changes within a week or 2 weeks. And I think sometimes we have to step back and be like, okay, we're not in a movie. We're real people. This is a real situation, and go from there. And so I think just realizing, okay, you're not perfect. You're not going to get it all down in a week or 2 weeks or a month or even a lifetime. You're going to have to constantly be working at things to stay stronger in your relationship and stay closer to your spouse.
Right. And I do think that once we realize something, it's impossible to unrealize it. So once you realize that this way of dealing with your husband wasn't productive, then you are able, you know, now you can't go back to that and go, okay, I can go back to, you know, the wall of silence. And I mean, and I'm the exact, I'm sort of the opposite. I'm the anger. I was the wall of emotion. It's like my husband actually said to me many years ago, when you get upset, would you please not take a flamethrower to everything in your path? Meaning, oh, him. And, you know, and he was a smart man, and he did not do it when I was in the middle of, I mean, I was basically having an adult version of a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, he made this remark to me, and I thought, you know, he's got a point. And it's something that I work on all the time. Because, smart man, he did not say, if you get upset. He said, when. Because the if was, it's like, it's a given. I'm going to get bothered by things. And
yeah,
it's just, when you do, can you handle it a different way? And I went, okay, that's a reasonable request.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, so I think the idea is not that, like you said, this isn't a one-time thing that is cured forever and I never have to pay attention again. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be awesome.
But it's something that's doable. And it just takes a little bit of intent, I think.
Yeah, it does. It's a conscious effort. It's a conscious thing. Just like anything else, you know, as you try to teach your kids to, you know, not take such and such, you know, we don't like to have crackers on the carpet. So, or any food on the carpet. And it's like, okay, well, we gotta go over this again. Sometimes we mess up and we forget and we take stuff on the carpet. Well, we gotta learn to not do that. And it's, you know, it's the same thing for us. We just have to learn to to change that mindset. Okay, I messed up this time. It's okay. I'm not going all the way back to where I was, but I just need to correct this and remember for next time that this is not what I'm going to do again.
Right. And I think that's, and again, that's, I call it, you know, giving people the benefit of the doubt, giving people the opportunity that, okay, you didn't do this on purpose just to make me angry, that maybe you just forgot that this bothers me because it doesn't bother you. So,
right.
You know, and you're, and just for that moment, you're not paying attention. And I do think, that all of these things build on each other, that the more we can reach out to our partners and try to communicate positive things as well as stuff that's not working for us, then we're going to be on our way to a much better relationship. So this is, I mean, we could talk about this for the rest of the afternoon. It's great. But can you tell people where they can learn more about how to work through these things? To me, any place that anybody could talk about good things about marriage and how to do it well, I think is worth promoting. So can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah. So our website is marriagefamilystrong.com. I blog with my husband, and so we just talk about issues with marriage and family, and basically we're not therapists, we're not doctors or anything, but we are a couple that is very passionate about helping other marriages and other families survive, because the stronger marriages and families can be, the better the world is. And so just, you can check us out there. We've got, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all that kind of stuff. And we're open for suggestions. If you have posts that you would like us to write on or anything like that, we love to talk to people and love to respond to comments. So that's where we are. MarriageFamilyStrong.com.
Terrific. So, you know, whether you respond to hurt with harsh words, contempt, or like Brittany, the silent treatment, you are doing damage to your relationship. It is hard to hear uncomplimentary things from your partner, and you may completely disagree with their perspective or worth how they presented it to you. But if you really want a healthy and happy marriage, learning how to communicate productively is the first step. So I hope you picked up some pointers during this show. And until next week, stay loving.